Okay, so imagine you're designing something maybe for a plane or a performance car, and it
Yeah.
needs to be super strong, right?
Right, really pushing the envelope on materials.
Exactly. And you might start with something solid, like AL7075 aluminum alloy. It's already known, used in aerospace, automotive, great tensile strength, good toughness.
A workhorse material, definitely.
But what if you need more? What if it also needs to handle, say, intense friction, lots of wear and tear, without giving up? How do you take that good material and make it even better for these really tough jobs?
That's where things get interesting. It's about enhancing properties, tailoring them, and one way to do that is creating metal matrix composites, or MMCs.
So mixing something new into the aluminum.
Pretty much, you add a reinforcement, often something hard, to boost certain characteristics.
And that's exactly what we're diving into today, taking that AL7075 and adding boron carbide. But not just any boron carbide.
No, this is the really cool part. Nano-sized boron carbide particles, NB4C. We're talking tiny, like 40 to 60 nanometers across.
Super small. And we're basing this deep dive on a paper by M. Ravi Kumar, which looks specifically at how adding these nanoparticles changes AL7075's tensile strength, its hardness, and importantly, its wear properties.
Yeah, how it holds up against friction.
So we're going to unpack this. Look at the materials, how they actually made these composites, what the structure looked like under a microscope, and crucially, what the test showed about performance.
Sounds good. Let's start with the basics then. AL7075, why is it already so valued?
Well, like I mentioned, its mechanical properties are key. High tensile strength, it resists pulling forces well, and decent toughness. The paper confirms its makeup, mostly aluminum, of course, but with zinc, magnesium, copper, chromium added in specific amounts. That's what gives it its muscle.
A well-defined alloy. And the reinforcement is this nano B4C. Boron carbide itself is known for being extremely hard. It's a ceramic.
And using it in nano form.
Yeah.
The idea is that these tiny particles might mix in better, right? Interact more effectively with the aluminum matrix than bigger chunks would.
That's generally the hope with nanoparticles, yes. Better distribution, more surface area for interaction, though getting them mixed in evenly is, well, the trick.
So how do they do it? The paper mentions stir casting. What does that involve, especially with these tiny particles?
Stir casting is, well, it's a pretty standard liquid metallurgy technique, often chosen because it's relatively low cost. Basically, you melt the AL7075. The paper says they got it up to about 680 degrees Celsius.
Molten aluminum.
Right. And then separately, they preheated the nano B4C particles up to 400 Celsius.
Why preheat the particles?
That helps them mix better with the molten aluminum. It improves something called wettability, basically helps the liquid metal coat the particles instead of pushing them away.
Makes sense. So hot metal, hot particles, then just stir.
Yeah, mechanical stirring. In this case, the paper mentions 100 RPM for about 5 minutes. The goal is to disperse those nanoparticles throughout the melt. They also chucked in a degassing tablet.
Degassing to get rid of gas.
Exactly. Molten metals can dissolve gases, which then form bubbles or pores when it solidifies, not what you want. So degassing helps remove those dissolved gases. Then, pour it into a mold, let it cool.
Okay, but stirring tiny light particles into liquid metal sounds like it might not be perfect. Did the paper talk about any challenges with stir casting, especially with nanoparticles?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a known thing with stir casting. You can run into issues like porosity, those little voids or holes we just mentioned, and particle clustering, agglomeration, they call it.
The nanoparticles clumping together.
Right. Instead of spreading out nicely, they stick together in groups. And that tends to get worse as you add more reinforcement. These clumps and pores can actually weaken the material.
Okay, so potential pitfalls. After they made it, what did they see when they looked, really closely at the structure? What did the microstructure reveal?
Well, the good news first. Their initial look showed that the nano B4C particles were, generally speaking, uniformly distributed within the aluminum matrix.
Which is what you want.
Exactly. The paper stresses that this uniform distribution, plus a good strong bond between the particles and the aluminum, is really crucial for getting those improved properties they were after.
Okay, so generally uniform. But did they also see those issues, the clustering and porosity that you mentioned?
Yes, they did observe those too. Especially as they increase the amount of nano B4C, say, going from 1% up to 3% by weight, they saw more evidence of particles clumping together. And yep, porosity was present, seemingly more so at those higher percentages too.
So, bit of a mixed bag microstructurally.
Kind of. They also noted the nanoparticles seemed to influence the grain structure of the aluminum, possibly making the grain smaller, which can be a good thing for strength and toughness. The particles might act like little roadblocks for cracks.
Interesting. Okay, so how did all this, the good distribution, but also the clustering and pores, affect how the material actually performed in tests? Let's talk hardness first.
Right. This is why the reinforcing effect really showed up. Adding the Nano B4C made the composite significantly harder than the base AL7075. No question about it.
How much harder?
Got any numbers?
Yep. With 1 weight percent Nano B4C, hardness went up by 9.3%. With 2%, it was up 16.1%. And with 3%, up 17.9%.
Wow. Nearly 18% harder at the top end. That's quite a jump. Why does adding these tiny bits make it so much harder?
Well, a few things are likely going on according to the paper. The B4C particles themselves are incredibly hard, so they resist indentation directly. But crucially, they get in the way of dislocations moving through the metal.
Dislocations? And like tiny defects in the crystal structure?
Exactly. Metals deform plastically when these dislocations move. The nanoparticles act like obstacles, pinning them or making it harder for them to move, so the material resists deformation better, which is what hardness measures. Plus, that potential grain refinement helps too.
Did the hardness just keep going up and up as they added more B4C?
Almost, but not quite. They noticed the increase between 2% and 3% B4C was much smaller than the jump from 1% to 2%. It seemed to be leveling off or saturating.
Suggesting maybe those negative effects, like the clumping and voids, were starting to counteract the benefit of adding more particles.
That's what it suggests, yeah. You might be hitting a point of diminishing returns with this specific stir casting method at those higher percentages.
Okay, what about tensile strength? Its ability to resist being pulled apart.
That also improved. The base AL7075 clocked in at about 135 megapascals MPa for ultimate tensile strength. Adding 3 weight percent of the Nano B4C pushed that up to 160 MPa.
So 160 from 135, that's roughly an 18-19% increase. Pretty decent.
Yeah, the paper gives us specific percentage increases, about 7.5% for 1WT%, 14% for 2WT%, and nearly 16% for 3WT%.
Wait, so again, the jump from 2% to 3% was smaller, only about a 1.6% increase there compared to the 6.5% jump from 1% to 2%.
Exactly. And the paper explicitly notes that the tensile strength barely changes between 2 and 3WT%, and they directly attribute this plateau to those microstructural issues. Again, the agglomeration, the voids, the porosity becoming more prominent at 3%.
So those defects act like weak spots, concentrating stress and preventing the material from getting stronger, even though there are more hard particles.
That seems to be the interpretation. They also saw something interesting during the tensile tests. The composite samples showed less necking before they broke compared to the pure alloy.
Necking. That's where the material thins down noticeably in one spot before it snaps, right? Like stretching taffy.
Kind of, yeah. It's characteristic of ductile materials that deform a lot before failing. Less necking suggests the composites weren't stretching as much plastically.
Which hints that maybe they were becoming less ductile, more brittle?
Precisely. And that leads us right into looking at how they failed the fracture behavior.
What did the broken surfaces look like under the microscope?
Well, the base AL7075, the original alloy, showed what you'd expect for reasonably ductile metal. Lots of little dimples on the fracture surface. That's a sign of microvoids forming, growing, and linking up, classic ductile fracture. It's stretched and pulled apart.
Okay, lots of dimples. What about the composites?
A different story, especially as they added more Nano B4C. The failure mode shifted towards brittle fracture.
Meaning, what does brittle fracture look like?
Instead of dimples, they started seeing flat, shiny facets called cleavages, and signs of cracks propagating straight through the metal grains, which is called transgranular fracture. Much less evidence of plastic deformation before breaking.
So a cleaner snap, almost. Why does adding these hard little particles make the whole thing more brittle?
Several factors contribute, according to the paper. One possibility is that the bond between the particle and the aluminum matrix isn't perfect and can fail. That's debonding. The B4C particles themselves are inherently brittle ceramics. They can just crack under load.
Okay.
And a really important factor is the mismatch in thermal expansion coefficients, or CTEs.
Ah, how much things expand when heated or shrink when cooled.
Exactly. Aluminum and boron carbide expand and contract at different rates. When you cool the composite down from that high casting temperature, the aluminum wants to shrink more than the B4C particles embedded in it.
That must create stress, right? Around the particles.
Huge internal stresses, yeah. Residual stresses. These can act like tiny pre-existing flaws, making it easier for cracks to start and run through the material, leading to that brittle cleavage type failure. the stress gets concentrated at these hard points.
So it's a classic materials trade-off. Gain hardness, gain some strength, but lose ductility, become more brittle.
That's often the case with these kinds of composites, yes.
Okay, let's shift gears to wear and friction. This seemed like a major focus given how they designed the experiments.
It definitely was. They used a very systematic approach here, a design of experiments technique called the Taguchi method. This lets you efficiently test how multiple factors influence an outcome.
What factors were they varying?
Three key things. The amount of nano B4C, 1, 2, or 3 weight percent. The load pressing the test sample against the sliding surface, 7, 14, or 21 newtons. And the sliding speed, 750, 1000, or 1250 RPM.
So testing various combinations of particle amount, pressure, and speed to see what happens to wear and friction.
Yeah.
What did they find was the biggest driver?
They used ANOVA, analysis of variance, to figure that out. And the results were really clear. The weight percentage of nano B4C was, by a significant margin, the most influential factor affecting both the amount of material lost to wear and the coefficient of friction.
Really? More important than load or speed?
Much more, according to their analysis. The B4C content accounted for something like 56.6% of the variation in wear loss and a whopping 65.6% of the variation in the coefficient of friction.
Wow.
Yeah. Load and speed mattered too, contributing maybe 7% to 19% each, depending on which property you look at. But the particle percentage was clearly dominant in this system.
That's a huge finding. It basically says if you want to improve wear and friction for this material, the number one thing to focus on is getting those nanoparticles in there. The amount makes the biggest difference.
Seems that way based on the study, yes.
So what were the specific trends? How did increasing B4C affect things?
As you'd probably guess from the hardness results, increasing the nano B4C content significantly decreased the wear loss. Harder material wears less. It also significantly decreased the coefficient of friction.
Why lower friction?
The hard particles likely carry more of the load, reducing the direct metal-to-metal contact area between the sliding surfaces. They might also act like tiny bearings or barriers.
Okay, so more B4C means less wear, less friction. What about load and speed?
Increasing the applied load, pressing harder, unsurprisingly increased wear loss. More pressure, more material removal. But interestingly, increasing the load actually decreased the coefficient of friction.
Wait. Harder pressure, less friction. That seems backwards.
It does seem a bit counterintuitive, but that inverse relationship is what they found. And similarly for speed,
yeah.
Increasing the sliding speed also increased wear loss, but it decreased the coefficient of friction.
Huh. So load and speed make wear worse, but friction better. That's fascinating. Did they pinpoint the best settings for minimizing wear and friction within the range they tested?
Yes, based on their Taguchi analysis. For the absolute minimum wear loss, the ideal combo was the highest B4C content, 3WT%, the lowest load, 7N, and the lowest speed, 750 RPM.
Okay, makes sense for wear. What about friction?
For minimum coefficient of friction, the best combo was different. Still the highest B4C, 3WT%, but this time combined with the highest load, 21N, and the highest speed, 1250 RPM.
Right, so the conditions that give you the least wear are totally opposite to the conditions that give you the lowest friction, apart from needing the most B4C for both. That's a critical distinction for design.
Absolutely. You'd have to decide which is more important for your application or find a balance.
Did they look at the worn surfaces afterwards?
Yeah.
To see what was happening?
Yes. Using SAM again. The composite surfaces showed much less damage, fewer deep grooves, less evidence of material being ripped out compared to the base AL7075. You can see how the B4C particles were resisting the sliding action.
Protecting the aluminum matrix?
Essentially, yes. They also mentioned seeing evidence of a mechanically mixed layer, or MML, forming on the worn surface. This is basically a layer of compacted wear debris, particle fragments, maybe some oxides, that can sometimes form during sliding and act as a protective, low-friction layer itself. And they used EDS analysis to confirm that boron and carbon from the B4C were present on those worn surfaces.
And I think the paper mentioned they developed some equations, too, to predict wear and friction.
That's right. Using regression analysis, they created mathematical models to predict wear loss and the coefficient of friction based on the input parameters, particle content, load, and speed. They did some validation tests and found the models match the experimental results pretty well, which gives confidence in using them for predictions within that tested range.
Okay, let's try and wrap this all up. What's the big picture here? What does this research tell us about adding nano B4C to AL7075?
The core story is that stir-casting nano B4C into AL7075 works. It creates a composite material that is significantly harder, and has noticeably higher tensile strength than the original alloy. That confirms the reinforcing effect.
But, and it's an important but, it comes at the cost of ductility.
Yeah.
The material becomes more brittle.
Exactly that trade-off. But where it really shines, based on this detailed study, is in wear performance. Adding the Nano B4C dramatically reduces wear loss and significantly lowers friction. And the key driver for these improvements is the amount of Nano B4C you add.
So for applications where things are rubbing, sliding, experiencing friction, this is potentially a big upgrade.
Potentially, yes. It gives engineers another tool. If you need a material for, say, gears, bearings, maybe pump components, or anything structural that sees abrasive contact, this shows a pathway. You can make AL7075 significantly more durable under those conditions.
It highlights how you can really tune a material's behavior by adding these tiny reinforcements. It's not just about the base metal anymore.
Right. It's about designing the material system for the specific demands of the job. Understanding these relationships between composition, structure, processing, and performance is what materials engineering is all about.
It definitely gives you a harder, stronger, and much more wear-resistant material, albeit a less forgiving one.
A different balance of properties.
So here's a final thought for you, the listener, to chew on. We saw that the best conditions for low wear were different from the best for low friction. And adding the particles boosted strength and wear resistance, but reduced ductility. Now imagine you're the engineer designing, I don't know, a critical moving part in a high-performance engine. It sees high loads, sliding contact needs to last. How do you weigh these competing factors? Do you prioritize minimizing wear, even if it means slightly higher friction or lower ductility? Could you design around the material's limitations, maybe with better lubrication or component geometry? Or does this kind of research tell you, okay, this is promising, but maybe we need a different approach? Perhaps a different manufacturing method than stir casting, or maybe even reinforcing with something else alongside the B4C to hit that perfect sweet spot of strength, toughness, and wear resistance for this specific demanding job. Something to think about.